Hare Krishna.
Das Kufar von dem Teil. Kopf mit dir. Am Kabel Sadem Yichavirol Yisrael Asa Orim Lo Yisrael Achitim. An agreement was made, and this is talking about an agreement with a chocher, with an aris, there's nothing to discuss, because the aris is going to be giving the owner a percentage of what it is that he grows. Obviously you can't change the deal, but here we're talking about where it's a chocher, and you would think that as a chocher, really what's different to him, to the landowner, since he's going to get the type of produce that he arranged for anyway, because the chocher is going to bring it to him from wherever he's got to get it. That's the deal. I give you X number of bushels of whatever it is. So, nonetheless, if he makes a deal that the zriyah of the field should be with barley, he should not be zoreah it in chitim. The reason is that chitim is a much more land-depleting grain than barley is. On the other hand, chitim, if he makes a deal to plant it with chitim, then yizra'en l'sa'orim, since it will deplete the land less, the Sa'orim, with no sweat off his back, the landowner, it's only good for him. As far as the chitim that he wanted, he's going to get the chitim that he wanted anyway, because the man owes it to him because this is chakirut. Nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oster, he says you cannot do that. You can't make a switch on the guy, even though he's going to end up getting exactly what he wants. You can't change this land usage. To make a deal to be planting grains, lo yisrael kitnit, no planting of legumes. On the other hand, if you made a deal to be planting legumes, you are allowed to plant it with grain because the grain is less depleting. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel oser. Again, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says he cannot make a change. Amar Chista, my time is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Chista says, what is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's reasoning to ask for a change even though you'd say it's no sweat off his back? The reason is, because after all, it says in the Pasuk, in Tanya, Sheherit Yisrael lo yasu avla, velo yedabru chazal, velo yimatzei b'fiyam lashon tamit. But those who have survived and are left in Yisrael are honest people, and they don't change a deal. This is the deal, and without permission, you have to change it. Because you know what? That can't be the reason. Because we know from elsewhere, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, you can. Where do we see that? Meisve. Migvat Purim L'Purim. If there was a campaign made to collect money for Purim Seudot, it's meant only for Purim Seudot, Ve'im B'taktikim B'davar, we don't analyze how much money is really needed for Purim Seudot so that we can take the excess money and use it for other charities. It's meant only for Purim. An Ani who receives this money, who has other needs that are more pressing than his extravagant Purim Seudot, and he has enough for him Purim Seudot, like say, for instance, he needs a pair of shoelaces, he's not allowed, says the Tanna Kamma, to buy shoelaces. Ein Ani Rishai Lekachmi Am Ritzura L'San Velo Elim Kim Yitzma De Ma'amad Am Sheinat Yir Dibrei Rabbi Yaakov Shamam Shum Rabbi Meir. Unless he made this agreement in the presence of the city council, who were in charge of the collection, he can't change it to buy shoelaces. Shimon ben Gamliel, who you just claimed, Rav Chisda, holds that you can never make any changes because Sheirit Yisrael lo yasu avla. He's the one who says over here that you can make a change. So obviously his reasoning in the Mishnah was not because of never make a change. There's got to be another reason. Amar Abaye, it says, Abaye, you know what? The reason of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is indeed specifically in our Mishnah because of agricultural considerations, not because of just an agreement. What's the agricultural consideration? He holds like Rabba. The Omar Ma, hi, ma, the nechale, the titbor, ra. Somebody who doesn't mind if his land, that Rashi learns it means like this, somebody who doesn't mind if his land becomes boor, meaning that it's ruined, should do the following. He should, let him rotate his crop, which tells us that's absurd. Rotating crops is what you want to do to keep your land more fertile. Therefore, Tosi says the meaning is, I'm on the next level, a man who was willing to leave his field fallow in order to restore its fertility, he needn't do so. What he can do instead is rotate his crops. He plants 1 year sorin, 1 year fatim, 1 year shiti, and 1 year eris. And he plants it by plowing one direction in 1 year and the other direction in the other year. In which case, in our Mishnah, the reason that you shouldn't make a change is because the landowner who's making the deal with the chocher may have other considerations about fertility in mind. So when he tells him, look, I want you to plant sitin, that may be because last year he planted tzarin, or he's got a whole crop rotation, and you're going to ruin it for him. So therefore, you cannot make considerations that are based just on the immediate year and say, well, but I mean, tzarin, after all, deplete the land less. But that's not the point. His long-term environmental considerations you're not aware of, and therefore you cannot change your brand. When it comes to the question of using money for the Purim Seder there, what's the problem? If you need it more, you need shoelaces more, buy shoelaces. Below Amran? I think your standard would be too high anyway. It's okay. Yeah, sit fine. No, sit down. Won't be much of your fine. Although one of your magic tissues, yeah. Not just any old tissues.
Why is the mother alive?
Not Sheker. Sherit Yisrael, Loya, 12 lives, it's a different idea. But anything that might impinge on somebody else with an understanding, that's not Sheker. But I'm doing something that's better for him. But nonetheless, it's an Indian of, okay, it's an understanding. This is what's Mimi Shrapa did. It's not the. It's the way in which Jews should have understanding. Even though I can't figure out his reasons, this is the way we agree. Let me do it this way. But Lamaik, we come out, this is not included in Shavit Yisrael Yisrael. Below Amr, now all of this consideration is over the Lokorvatoni. Lokorvatoni less than that. If you want to do a double plowing, or plow under at the end of the season to restore nutrients from the stubble, and then re-plow at the beginning of the planting season, then that's just as good. No, we're talking about this question of how either Rashi does it in Scott. I mean, that it's not damaging if, according to Rashi, and it's just as good if, or. Tu'ah? What do I do with those magic things? I mean, they disappear magically also? Tu'ah? Lo yizu'ena kitni. T'masiv al-reviuda v'rovin. Now, reviuda was saying over to Rovin at the Brisker, and he said, Tu'ah yizu'ena kitni. That if you planted Tu'ah, you may indeed plant kitni. Omarley, so he said to him, Rovin, how could you say that? It's a bish mishnah that says, Kualo, Yizrena kitni. Omarley, Lakash, it's not a problem. Although it depends in Eretz Yisrael, indeed, where you have rocky, mountainous territory, you have to be very makpid on the nutrients because they're not restored. But in Bavo, we have marshland. So it constantly gets wet, and then every time it gets wet, it brings up all kinds of filth, and which is nutrients for the field. And it restores the nutrients. Here we're not marked. Oh, my lay revier of a Ravin, but I'm not from Ravin Achi. Ah, my dear friend Ravin. Honey Taki, the Bekitna, if you see cress growing among flax, which is common, you can go into the guy's field and take it. And then you shouldn't get it. Because it's bad for the flax. The guy will be very grateful for you for taking it out of there anyway. Those al-gulin, if it's on the edges of the field, then the Eishvam Yishun Gezo. Over there, of course, it's not mopsed anything for there. He may want it for himself. The imhuk shula zera, if they've already made seed pods, now people they keep nanami Eishvam Yishun Gezo, don't even take it out of the flax field because my time, my dafsi, the damage that it's done is done already. So at this point, once it's at this point already it's finished, bro, now the guy may want to keep it himself. Another mimer that reviewed a set to Ravin Bar of Nachman, Ravin Achi, my dear friend Ravin, Hani Dili Dilach, Dilach Dili, you should know that there are some of my trees have your peyot on them, and some of your trees have my peyot on them. Why? Because we have fields that are share a common border. And the trees now are planted on the mesa itself. Mesa was like a raised area that was, you know, like a hedge kind of thing, but made with ground that had trees planted on it. And so some of them are planted on the edge so that the roots go down into my area. And there are those fruits that are hanging over your field are really coming from my field. The nutrients are coming from my field. There's others that are just the opposite. Hanging on my field, coming from your field. And just so that we should know that Lamaita, that would be the din, technically speaking, is that some of them are owned by you, some of them are owned by me, even though they're in the opposite location. And Nog B'nei Mesa, that Ilan Anota Lakan Lakan, Ranota Lakan Lakan, the minhag is that among people that share a border as we do, that they are noting the roots that are noting to that sort of has the right to the perot, even though the perot hang over on the other side. Yitzman, Ilan HaOmed Al HaMitzah, a tree that's been planted on the raised area between the fields, Amarav, Anotel Lekan Lekan, Anotel Lekan Lekan. You look at the roots and see which side is going down the mesa, because down the mesa into the field on one side, and that's the field that gets it. Shmuel says, if it's on the mesa, you split it. Mesei, so we ask, now on Rav, Ilan HaOmed Al HaMitzah Yachloku, the Yufkad Rav, here's this version of Braisa, it should be split. Tirgum of Shmuel, I'll leave it to Rav. Shmuel, who this ostensibly supports, he said, you can't really prove my opinion against Rav from this Braisa, because that may be talking about a tree that's Vamali Koha Mesa Kulo. And the tree is growing across the entire raised area, and therefore its roots are going through both fields. So over there, Yakloku. Ah, come on, Yaki Maila Mema. So then, I mean, so what would be the finish? Obviously, I mean, so then the enemies is going from both fields. But Tricha, the Tolik Tune Lakat Gisa. No, you see, what's happening over here is that the fruit and the branches are nota towards one or the other field. So you might think, since they're going to the top, it's going into that field, or whatever field is over should get it. Kamash Balon, that it goes according to where it was being supported by the land. But okay, then it's still not a Kiddush then. So Akati Maila Mema, why would I have thought otherwise? Because the Omar Lay Plog Harfi. Now, because the point is that if we're doing a Chalukah, then you would say that the Chalukah should be draw a line across the middle of the Mesa. Whatever's on one side of the line is mine, whatever's on one side of the line is yours. Now, it happens to me that this time, one side of the line contains all of the fruit, and there's no fruit on your line, on your side of the line, because this was a lopsided tree, right? It was growing all on one side. But I mean, isn't it reasonable if we're going to say Yachloku, that's the way we should be Yachloku, not Yachloku in the basket, and then Yachloku on the tree? Kamash Malan, then that's what it's coming to tell me, that Kamash Malan, that the other guy can tell him, who is on the unfortunate side, he says, my cousin to the Palak Tahafi, Prodahafi, why split it that way? You want to draw a line through the tree? You can draw a line east-west as well as you can north-south. Why should it go down the middle of the nation? Omle Rav Yehuda L'Ravin Bar Rav Nachman, another one of these stories, was that Rav Yehuda told Ravin, Ravin Achi, Lo Tazvin Ara D'Smicha L'Masa, never buy a field for agricultural purposes that's near the town. The Yomar, Rabbi Avu, Amr Avun, Amr Rav, Asur Lo Ladam Shiyamod Osbek Averu B'Sha'ah, Shalmedet V'Komoteha. A person should never stand watching somebody's field while it's grown, because he'll damage it with his eye. He'll give it an iron heart. So near town, there's always people walking by and saying, oh, look at this, George is making a lot of money this year. Oh, no, not that again. Ashkechinu, Rabbi Yamada, Talmidim, Rav, he met some Talmidim from Rav, and he asked them, tell me, what did Rav say? This seems to be a stira. What did Rav say about the following circuit? Baruch atah ba'ir, baruch atah ba'sadeh, baruch atah b'vorecha, baruch atah b'tzeitecha. They answered him. They answered him, okay, Yom Rav, baruch atah ba'ir means shiheh b'tcha samuch l'bet ha'kneseh. To be really blessed, you want to be able to have a shul right next door, so you can hop in for a quick minute. Baruch atah b'sadeh,
means sharei nechasech, shiyu nechasech akrovim la'ir. Your fields should be near the city, so that you don't have to, okay, but he's saying it, I mean, it's the exact same words that Rav says, don't buy karov la'ir, and here Rav, I mean, claim that Rav said, that Yunachasecha Karov Le'ir. I mean, does that make sense? Of course, once we got to the question, we'll finish the story already. Baruch Atah B'Zorecha means, when you come back from a trip, Shalot Imsa Yishtecha Tzafek Nida, B'Sha'at B'Yapcha Min HaDerech. I mean, Atmela. She's already Tmeya, okay, she's Tmeya. But you got to start wondering, is she or isn't she? That already, that's pain. Baruch Atah B'Tzeitecha, Shut Tzei Me'echa Kamotcha. You should have children that are like you. Some people wouldn't want that, huh? The Omaluhu, who's Rav Abba, having heard this story, having heard this, the Purish from Talmidei to Rav, of course, as always, everybody asks questions, well, what did he say? Now I'll tell you what I have to say, right? So he said, well, very interesting, but I'll tell you, Rav Yochan, Rav Yochan didn't say that that was the chat. He went like this, Baruch HaTzabayir, you should have a Beit HaKiseh, it's better to have a bathroom nearby. But a Beit HaKnesset, this is not a good thing to have next to your house. No, this is Rabbi Yochanan Latayne. The Yomar Tzchar Tziyot. Yes, he holds that the further you walk to school, the more tzchar you have for the davening. So what do you want it to be so close to your house for? Baruch HaTov B'Sadeh means your Sadeh should be wisely planned. Yunichatzokam B'Shulashim. You should have an investment of one-third in grain, one-third in olives, and one-third in vines. That's the way to do it. Baruch atah b'vorecha. Baruch atah b'teitecha. You learn it's interrelated. It's one plus. Baruch atah b'vorecha. Baruch atah b'teitecha. Say it's yatcha min ha'olam k'viyatcha lo'olam. Ma v'yatcha lo'olam b'lochei. Just like you came here to the world without sin. Av'yatcha min ha'olam b'lochei. You should leave it in the same pristine state that you came to it. Anyway, but meanwhile, Rav contradicted himself. Here he said it was Karov Le'ir was good, there he said Karov Le'ir was bad. Lokash is very simple. One case is talking about where you've got a wall and a hedge, so nobody could see through to the field anyway. So therefore, it should be Karov Le'ir. It could be convenient. You'll be damaged by the Ayin Hara. And then continues the Pasuk, Vayishir Hashem Mimcha Kol Choli V'Kol Madvei Mitzrayim Ha'Re'im, and so on. What is this referring to? It's Kol Choli, it's a chant, something that all illness is totally in. So Kol Choli, as if there's one marker to illness. What is that? So Marav Zu Ayin. This refers to Ayin Hara. So that because this is Rav Lashitos, you see, Rav once did a statistical analysis of a graveyard to find out what people had died from. So he wanted to get an idea of what was, you know, what was the leading cause of death in these areas. So Rav Solik the Beit Kavri, he went into the Beit HaKavri, Avad Ma the Avad, and he did his little piece of what he did, which means, you know, he knew how to figure out, you know, he knew how to... Well, you know, maybe it was a Rizal kind of stuff, or maybe it, you know, who knows? Well, whatever, DNA analysis, you know? And blah, 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 but anyway, he did what he did, and he came out with the following statistics. 99 out of 100 died out of an iron heart. One of them died a normal death, and ain't nobody who lives a full lifetime anymore.
That what? Heart attack and cancer.
Those were the iron heart. They're all iron hearts. Guys, you think it's a coincidence that so many successful people die young? It's because there's so much iron heart on their success, obviously. But look at him, he's so successful.
What to do with the stress?
And it tells us that's a good catch. What according to this, what about the Bnei Yosef that don't have iron hearts? They're impervious to iron hearts. They should have a statistically longer lifetime. How come they don't? Where do we find it? He says, God doesn't let anybody get away with it. If you don't get an iron heart, I'll send something else. It's not a matter of lifetime. It's a matter of, you know, what will catch you at the end.
The Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Kol Choli refers to Ruach, it refers to various winds, because according to Shmuel, everybody was
chasuf to illness because of what's carried in the air. And if you could somehow isolate a person, we had a number of Gemaras, like if you somehow isolate a person from the effects of the air that's blowing on him, then Shmuel said he'd be able to do any number of tricks. You know, you could even eventually, had enough time, you could even eventually reattach a head if you needed to. But it's, you know, once it's exposed to the air, forget it. That's it, bad news. And this is Shmuel that she thought, huh? You know, Shmuel, I call the Ruach. Maybe I call the Ruach. I mean, how about if you shot him? I mean, what about Haruge Malchut? What about the Romans? I mean, they don't blow things at people, they blow them up. But Shmuel held Anak Nami, Lav Zika Avilu Samavachai. But wouldn't be for the exposure to the Ruach, I'd be able to fix them. So theoretically, at least they could live. So the Chanina Omar, you know what it is? It's not wind, it's the cold. The cold gets every time it's those damn crafts. Oh man. You know, Chanina, I call you there, Shamayim Kutz Mitzinim Pachim. Other than Sinim Pachim, this is my focus without a reason. If it's Sinim Upachim, in which case it's Sinim is cold and Pachim is Lashon of heat. With Sinim Pachim, Rashi learns Kor, Sina, and Pach is from the Lashon of Nafuach, blowing at you. So cold draft, Sinim Pachim, not Sinim Upachim. Tosfos says Sinim Upachim. And he brings the right, of course, from the Pesachin of Adazar, where we find the other Lashon. Shenemar. Sinim pachim b'derach ikesh shomer nafsho yirchak mehen. So you too, sinim pachim. So this means that essentially, even though it's b'dei shamayim, things are b'dei shamayim, but not if you want to go expose yourself to something that's bad for you. You want to expose yourself to cold drafts, so then you'll get sick. You're going to blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Yossi Bar Chanina Amar Zot So'ah. When it says Kol Choli, it means any Choli. That's the point. It means even a small issue such as undue excrement. The Amar Mar So'at HaFotem V'So'at HaOzen Ruban Kasher Miyutan Yafeh. That secretions from the nose and from the ears are okay in moderate amounts. You don't want to have too much of it. So allergy is about what you're looking for. Rebelozer Amr, Zoom Mara. Rebelozer says, it's the gallbladder. It's always the gallbladder. That's basically, behind everything is a bad gallbladder. In other words, even minor discomfort, such as excess nose secretions or excess... extra secretions that are not part of normal, 100% normal. Even that cold, you won't have to suffer from allergies, is what it is. Not that it's the mucker of all problems, the way you were learning. Cold, that single thing which is cold, he's learning the opposite approach. Any and all. And Rebbe Lazer holds, we're talking about the gallbladder, this is really Tanya Nami Yochid, it says machala, when it says in the Torah that machala nikir becha, right, what is it referring to? It's referring to the mora, lamini grashma machala. Why do we refer to the mora as machala? Because shehi machale kogu koshim adam, because it gets the whole body weak. Makes you sick. Davar acher machala sheshmoni mishlosha kolim tluyim bo b'mora, because there are 83 different illnesses that come from your gallbladder. That's the gematria of machala. The kulan pat shafris b'melach v'kitan shamayim v'atlam. And all it takes is a good breakfast for champions. Some bread and a little bit of salt and a nice pitcher of water, and you have that every morning, and that'll take care of you.
No, we don't understand it. Where does it come? There's too much thing that we say that this even Hashem can heal you despite the doctor's intervention. Hashem's power is so great,
yeah,
that he can't heal you.
He can kill you.
He can heal you.
Oh, he can heal you even though you were dumb enough to go to a doctor.
Right.
I see. I hear you. Turn her up on it. Your Gimel Dvarim Nemru B'Pachakris, there's 13 things that are said about a good breakfast consisting of some bread and salt. Yeah.
Toast
would be good, yeah. Matzelet minachama minatina. First of all, it keeps you from being overly affected from heat and cold. Minazikin, minamazikin, keeps you also away from storms and from mazikin also. It sharpens you up because you can concentrate on what you're doing. Because your brain is doesn't have, you know, they have actual research that actually shows that you don't function well with the mental.
At breakfast.
The Zochebedin, and if you have to go to court that day, so you'll do a better job arguing your case, so you're very good for litigation, it's very good to have a good breakfast in the morning. And it's good for Lumay Torah, the Lamed, the Dvarav Nishmoyim. People will listen to you because you'll put in your full efforts and feelings into what you're saying. The Talmudom, it's Kayim B'Yadol, you'll remember what you learned. Vein B'Sarom Ma'alehevel, a guy like this doesn't over-sweat. V'Nishkak L'Yishto, and if he has a good breakfast, then he'll be strong enough to have some sex in the morning. And that way he'll be cooled off the rest of the day. He won't be looking at other women. This part is rash. It's only for people who have problems with these kind of things, but at least it keeps you moving. Well, reget kinash be name ayim, and it gets rid of those old tapeworms, and that's a good for him. And so it all around it's good. Rash is used for kinah v'tagar. Because if you're in a lousy mood, if you don't eat breakfast, and therefore you end up just screaming at everybody in the office, and it just creates a lot of problems, and instead it makes you nice, happy, mellow kind of guy, and therefore machnis ba'ava turns everything into love, and that's all from a good breakfast.
Is there like a specific kind of egg?
It doesn't work with the Pritikin diet, that's the problem.
Okay.
Rather, as Robert Bomer, you know, knows that I'm an easy sheet. Actually, it probably does, you know. Because we shall ourselves the young, you know.
It's not early.
Where do we get the common saying that says, sheet and rehite rahot, you can have 60 runners running, I'll never catch a guy who had a breakfast of champions. Meaning, this is it. They should have this Gemara on there. And not only that, the Rabbanan also said, it's one thing it's a, but even the Rabbanan agreed to this one. They said, Hashkem ve'cho b'kayt me'achama, get up early and have a good breakfast in the summer before it gets too hot. With the choref me'atina, and it's good for you to have an early breakfast, fight off that cold in the winter. Anyway, so it's good to have a breakfast. Where did they get this from? I guess there are remnants in the Torah to them. Oh, my lay, so go to Bar Mori. Answered Rabba. Dichtiv lo yiravu v'lo yitzmo v'lo yakim sharav v'shemesh. It says if they're not hungry and they're not thirsty, then they won't get hurt by sharav v'shemesh. And that's the point. Lo yakim sharav v'shemesh kima v'lo yiravu v'lo yitzmo. So he said, that's nice. But again, as we know, when you ask a question, it's because you have a better answer. You just want to have, show that you've got a better answer. I'm like, you say it from there. I'll tell you what I say this one. But that's why for now, when people ask me things, it's okay. Tell me what you want to say first. I'll tell you. It's from here. It says, Vatem et Hashem location, uveirach et lachmecha ve'et meimecha. So this is a pshat. No. What? Yes. Yeah, that's Rashi wrote the Machal Mikrevecha. That's Mamish where it appears. So Vavatemes Hashem Elokeichem. That's talking about Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. Berach is Lach Mekas Lindecha. That's breakfast. There you go. The Zupat and Melach Mekitam Shemayim. And you come to Ela from that point on. Rashi wrote the Machal Mikrevecha. You had a good breakfast. Now it comes Baruch Hu protects you. Amalei Rav Yehuda Rav Ada Mashukha, Rav Yehuda told Rav Ada, the surveyor, that was it was his job. Lo tizalzel b'mishchata, you should not be in any way lax with your measurements. Measurements are extremely important. And when you've got a job, you're going to sit there and say, maskamina, a couple of centimeters here, a couple of centimeters there. Listen here. One tiny 1 centimeter square plot. You know how much really expensive garden sap when you can grow in that plot? You start growing that plot, you could sell it to some perfumery. You could be making millions on this over the course of a lifetime. And all because they knew you gave it to the wrong guy. Another thing he told me, close his garden room. Arba amos the amigra zalzelvo. The one place you shouldn't measure too carefully, the 4 amos that you have a right, the din over there is that when they had irrigation ditch, ditch, you know, canal that they would make for. So they would leave the edges of the canal open for anybody who wanted to come along to be able to take water out of it. And the deal was that anybody who's brother abutted a irrigation canal agreed to keep 4 amas free on his side, so that people would be able to walk there. If your field now started jutting into that area, you would be damaging the people who need to be able to have access. So he says, over there, don't be in the back take, and it's okay if it's fair for me. Yeah. And when it comes to the Anhara, it comes to a river where over there there's another problem. Over there the problem is that you've got public transportation going down the river, and the barge transportation needs areas on the sides for pulling. And over there, if you damage them, who's going to be mostly with the robin? Maybe over here, the homeowners in the area say, okay, fine, so everybody's mostly with the robin. But you have a Nahar, you won't even be able to get mechila from people. Like Mavis or Rabin over there, don't even measure. Just it should be so clear to the eye and to looking at it that you left enough space there. Notim shekhenu klal, don't use a ruler for that. Just make it evident. This is Rav Yehuda Shitasa, because Rav Yehuda said arba amot anigra levnei anigra. The 4 amas of a ditch belongs to people that are above the ditch, but the Anhara, something that's the 4 amas along the river, is the Kulei Alma. That's public. Anybody has a right to go there. Machas Ravami Mulo Katfe Nagde Betray Avde Nahara Kotu. Ravami was Machas that the people that are working on barges have a right even to cut down 4 amas, which is the shear of the kafayim of the nagya, the people that are going to be drawing the boat. They used to have human power to pull a boat in places where it needed pull a barge, of course. On either side of the river, and sometimes, you know, you have to pull from one side, sometimes from the other, depending on how the current was. That can be cut. The Nosim Barashia went ahead and he cut down 16 amos on the side of a river. And the people that owned those trees came and attacked him. Also, the name of Shrunia Dafnu, they beat him up. Who is talking to the Rabbin? The reason that he took 16 amos is he felt, since it was given over to Rabbin to use, as a din of Rishus the Rabbin. Rishus the Rabbin is 16 amos. That we have from the Midbar, we know that from the Argolic. But Lowy is completely wrong. Also, being in Kulayah over there is because of the traffic that we need that much space. The fire, public highway requires that. But over here, the only problem is to have room for the ropes that are attached to the barges to be pulled. Why would you need 16 hours? It's quite enough to have the breadth of the person's shoulder to be able to pull. Rabbi Baraguna owned a forest on the edge of a river. So they came to him, they said, how come your trees are up all the way up the river? Nobody's going to be able to pull barges. Well, why don't you cut down your trees? Well, let me tell you guys. When I see the guy upstream and downstream cutting, I'll do my cutting. But don't start telling me I should be the first one. Well, I'm no friar. So, strike the Gemara, if you have a donkey, how could he do such a thing? So, it seems, that's the kosher shoe, the kosher. which we learn out to mean, Ramesh Shlokesh, this means it's kosher to look into your own self first. Kshot atzmacha, make yourself a mensch, and then go around making other people mention. Yachar kshat, kshot acherim, and all this, what are you going to do? You're going to tell the people downstream and upstream, hey guys, cut your trees, and then when they do it, then you'll do it. How do you do such a thing? Huh? But he's a guy in a door. I mean, what is
people came to tell him to cut down his
tree. Well, they why? They don't know trees, maybe. However, Abdul Parzik Rupila, there the forest upstream and downstream belonged to the big Parzik Rupila with the guy, the governor and representative there of the government. He ain't going to cut down no trees. That's what he's saying. When I see him cut down trees, I'll cut down trees. The Yomar says, therefore, Rabbi Barhuna said, if they're going to cut down trees, fine. That makes sense for me to cut down. But in low kites, if they're not going to cut down, why should I? What good is it going to do? Look, if they're going to be able to draw the boat from the other side of the river where they've got free passage, then they will. But if not, what are they going to do? They're not going to come across the river to this side, pull along my property and move out. When they get up to the next property up and move to the other side, they're not gonna do that, and therefore either it works with the other side or they're not gonna be using the river for it. That's all. So I should stop, go ahead and tear down my forest. Now unfortunately Rabbi Bar Nachman was driving along once in a barge, and he's looking over there and he sees trees on the side of the river. He says, what kind of no goodnik lives on this river over here?
Who is this?
Amar Leif, they tell him it's Rabbi Baravuna's forest over here.
Amar, say, Mir, I don't believe this. The Yad HaSarim VaHazganim Haita B'mal HaZeri Shana.
This is referring to when they came back to
the second place of Mikdash. So in Ezra, so it says that they found out
everybody had married Goyim and with
a business on Shabbos and the whole thing. And it was the Yad HaSarim HaZganim, they were the ones who went first. I can't believe this. Rabbi Baravuna would do this, leave his trees. Little did he know about the whole story with the governor on top, the bottom, so he jumped to the conclusion that Rabbi Baravuna is no good man.
He was driving in a boat.
But Nachman was driving in a boat, and he sees that they're not able to go to the other side because the trees come all the way to the edge.
The first tree on the edge.
He was sleeping.
On the other side.
You can tell he's never been on a ferry. They have two totally different worlds on either side. So, Amalu, coach you, rip it down. And they did. Comes Rabbi Baravuna out and finds his forest. Man Katya, who has cut down my trees? He cut on pain, may his own branches be cut. Hamre, they say Kulu Shonig to Rabbi Baravun. As long as Rabbi Baravun was alive, none of Rabbi Barav Nachman's children survived. So his family Zaral of Rabbi Barav Nachman. Don't start up. That's the bottom line. This is always my favorite. Dear gentlemen, Lord Rav Hashem, in the morning, here's your magic tissue. Come with my
heart.
Oh, Richie. I can't believe